jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 23 Supercoach Coach podcast for season 2019, or the grand final podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm not joined by our regular podcast guests. Instead, we're going to take you through a slightly different format. So not answering questions ahead of the grand final. Hopefully those of you who still have trades left or are facing the all-important grand final can navigate yourselves through that final week successfully. Instead, what we're going to do is a season review for the season that has been. And the format that we're taking, partially due to the fact that I'm actually in Europe on holidays at the moment, is each of the podcast hosts has answered four questions and submitted them. I've cut them together, and essentially we're going to go through what went right in our seasons, what went wrong, reflections on POD successes and failures, and then finish off with lessons learned. For our patrons, there'll be a bonus episode on our best and worst trade moves. And just due to the length of the podcast, I'll also be posting my personal season review as a Patreon exclusive. Before we jump into some of the questions and our podcast guests, I just want to say a massive thank you to the whole Supercoach Coach community. There's still a couple thousand of you out there listening to us each week, which this late in the piece is very, very much appreciated. In terms of results, this has probably been one of our most challenging years, but the support and the love that we continue to receive from the community makes it a lot easier to go through, despite it being a challenge at times this year, as you probably would have heard. Also want to give a big shout out and thank you to our patrons. I think it's now 4 years into our Patreon campaign, and I mean it very sincerely when I say that this show would not still be around without you all. This year, we really made a concerted effort to release a lot more Patreon content, almost one bonus episode every single week, bar a few exceptions. And we really hope that the Patreon community got a bit more value out of that than in sort of previous years. So for any of the listeners who've appreciated the advice this year and are considering potentially supporting us moving forward, don't forget next season when we come back at patreon.com/supercoachcoach for a continuation of bonus episodes and bonus material for our beloved patrons. Of course, that doesn't diminish sort of the support that we receive from everyone else. So understand that not everyone is able to contribute, and we still would like to thank all our listeners regardless. So without further ado, we'll get to some of the questions, starting off with what went right in our Supercoach seasons. And the five podcast guests that we have on, FB Donkey, he'll be speaking first, followed by Faz, followed by Dunny, followed by Bryce, and Moosey will finish us off in each of the sections. So as I cut to each of the sections, you'll be hearing answers from each of those five guests, and then it will jump back to me to introduce the next question.
Hey, this is FB Donkey. I am recording my season review, Supercoach 2019. Things did not go to plan this year. I am currently ranked 15,000 with 1 week to go. Not a position I've ever been in before, and not one I hope to be in again. I need to start with what went right for my team. I think that there was a fair bit of debate on the ruck selections in the preseason. Grundy and Gorn seemed to work out pretty well, both the top two scorers. I think if you had traded one to Goldstein in the second half of the year, that may have worked out okay. But generally, the two big rucks worked out really well. Zach Williams also worked out really well as a starting pick. Probably my upgrade process worked out really well. I was really happy with the way that I timed my upgrades. I managed to keep some bench, which was really helpful. I just ended up with the wrong premiums at the wrong time most of the time, particularly Andrews and Cameron.
G'day everyone, it's Faz here. And a big thank you to all of the listeners for your support across the season, and in particular the Patreons. Unfortunately, it's not been the season I was hoping for, and with another pretty poor weekend just gone, I'm now sitting outside the top 15,000. So we'll jump into the season review now. In terms of what went right, this is a pretty short one for me. Don't have a whole lot to dwell upon, unfortunately. The Gawn-Grundy combo in the rucks is a pretty obvious one. I think that anyone that started with those two is going to be pretty happy with how that ended up. My starting rookies, I've had a look back, and I think I didn't really miss too many there. I even had Marty Hoare to begin the season with. Unfortunately, traded him out after round one when he got dropped. Got Charlie Constable in to replace him, so that was a mistake. But in terms of the guys that started on the field, I was pretty happy with that lot. And then my starting midfield as well is probably the other area I'm pretty happy with. All of Clayton Oliver, Paddy Cripps and Zach Merritt have played the whole season out in the midfield and have all been pretty strong. Nat Fyfe as well was a starting midfielder for me. I've had to trade him out, but that's not really his fault. That was more my poor planning and having not enough bench cover in my midfield. So, you know, I think I started the midfield pretty well there with Oliver, Cripps, Merritt and Fyfe all in the starting lineup.
Hey everyone, Danny here. What went right for me this season? I think rookie choices was one of the big things that I got right at the start of the year. I nailed a number of the good rookies, and that really paid off and allowed me to upgrade my team pretty quickly. Grabbing Riley O'Brien when he was on the bubble, and also paying up for Walsh were two of the big wins I had, along with starting with the three power rookies. They weren't huge scorers, but they were getting a game every week, and that was the key. They kept building and building in their cash. The other massive win I had was holding on to Marty Hoare when he was dropped from the Melbourne side early in the year. Not only did he make a heap of cash when he came back in, but also he was scoring really well throughout that period. And having a guy on field that was scoring the 80s, 90s, and sometimes 100 was just an absolute bonus. And it meant that I could leave him on there and leave him to one of my last upgrades without having to worry about the score that he was going to produce each week. So really happy with him. And I think that was the key to my season so far, was getting those rookies right, allowing me to upgrade quickly and make some fast cash.
Hello, this is Bryce here. So reflecting on the 2019 Supercoach season and what went right. So I think three things went pretty well for me this season. The first one being the set and forget rucks, which I think most people went for, but that was successful for me. The other thing I went for in my starting team was a deep primo forward line. So I had four primos plus a Darcy Moore and Drew and Setterfield in my forward line, and just Petrocelli at F8. And the strategy there was to recognise that there weren't too many high-scoring forward rookies, and that by going deep primo in the forward line, would allow me to keep most of the forward rookies off the field and be able to swing more back and forth with Burgess in the back line, which I found quite useful in with flexibility. What that also allowed me to do was to get higher scoring rookies on the other lines, such as the midfield and defence, which were projected to be higher scoring. So that setup worked really well. The third thing that went well this season was being patient in the early parts of the season. I don't think that I made a single trade until round five, and that was to bring Riley O'Brien into my team. And what that allowed me to do was save trades and go aggressively around the bye period and get to a full primo side without too many compromise options. It just took me a little while to get there. I dropped pretty heavily around the middle of the season, dropped to 27K. But getting to a full primo side meant that I could finish quite strongly and managed to recover to just outside the top 7K, but still going to be my worst ever finish to the Supercoach season. So that unfortunately didn't go too well.
Hi all, it's Moosey here, and thanks for having me on the podcast again. I had a lowish score this week of 23.15 on the weekend and dropped ranks for the first time in nearly 2 months to 2.9.31. So the top 1K dream is over for me, unfortunately, this year. We're having a season review, and the first item of the agenda is what went right. Well, my biggest win for the season was probably trading in Rob, as he proved to be such an important cash cow that really helped the upgrading cycle.
That was the section about what went right in our Supercoach season. just to cap it off, I do want to express that we do have very high standards as a community. And even when we say, you know, we're having a very tough season or there's not a lot that's gone right in the grand scheme of things, you know, most of us are still in that top 10K mark. Our leagues are still scattered across the top 100, even if not as dominantly as in our previous seasons. And so if this is one of our tougher seasons and we're still in and around the mark, then you know, we should sometimes also just gain a little bit of perspective. I know we've got some listeners out there that have previously expressed frustration that when we say we do poorly relative to sort of the general population of super coaches, poor isn't that poor. And so yeah, I just do want to acknowledge that overall the Supercoach coach community hasn't gone as well as in previous seasons, but we still find ourselves with quite a few people populating the top 1,000, a few people who even having a crack at winning some of that cash. So with that, we'll move on to what went wrong in Supercoach 2019. And a few of our guests have some ideas of what derailed their season. So we'll cut to them now.
All right, what went wrong for my team? The main things that went wrong with my starting team were no Lockie Neal. He just went on an absolute tear in that first half of the year. I ended up starting Dusty, who really sucked early on, and having Neal instead of Dusty would have made a huge difference. The other thing that really, I think, went wrong for my season was holding Matt Crouch through that injured period. He was just out longer than expected and came back not so great. And starting Rockliffe and then holding him through his injured period, I mean, he's averaged about 100. He's been okay, but not really holding up a premium midfield spot. I would have been better going rookie and premium in that spot. Although Rocky, Sheed and Brad Crouch were the three players that a lot of teams were tossing up in that spot, maybe Libra as well, and none of them really worked out great over the course of a whole season.
So now moving on to what went wrong, and I feel like I've got a lot more to talk about here, and I'll break it down into two categories. I've got the rookies, and there's subcategory of the guys that I missed entirely, and then some other guys that I traded out too early. And then the second category are some key players that I missed on, which I think have made a real difference this year. So the guys that I missed entirely include Riley O'Brien, Sydney Stack. Then those were sort of during season downgrades that I missed. And then in terms of starting picks, they weren't as popular, but Callum Wilkie, Connor Rozee and Marty Hoare have all been very impressive down in the back line. Instead of those guys, I've got some real duds lighting my bench right now. Bailey Scott is one that we all were pretty excited about after a couple of weeks, but has been unsighted, I think, since about round three. Then I've got some really poor downgrades that I made. So Mitch Hinge from Brisbane, I know Marcus and I both went early on him, and he's been sitting there after two games, hasn't been sighted again. Lockie Young I got from the Bulldogs. He was in and out of the team for a while and now just seems to be out entirely. And Ryan Gardner is another Bulldog who has been very disappointing. Turning to the players that I traded out too early, I've had a look at the price that they were at when I traded them and their top price for the season. So Noah Answorth from Brisbane, I traded him out at 237K. He's just hit 359,000 this week. So I know it's around 22 already. I probably wouldn't have held him that long, but certainly seemed to go early by trading him out at 237. And Gibbons from Carlton, I traded him out at 266. He peaked at 376 this year. So there's another over 100K that I left on the table. And then in terms of key players that I missed, the two that I wanted to just mention quickly, Rowan Marshall from the Saints. He's in only in 18% of teams, but he's been the 13th highest averager overall this season. And the big one, I think, Josh Dunkley, 34% of teams, and he's the sixth highest averaging player. So not having him, particularly because he's down in the forward line, that's just been a real killer.
What went wrong for my season? Mainly not starting with some of the big scorers. I chose not to start with Lockie Neal, and that turned out to be a huge mistake. And when I finally have got him into my side, he hasn't been as good as he was early on. I also didn't start with Warple. I was really worried about what his role was going to be and how that was going to go. And that cost me a heap of points and a heap of cash generation early. But for those who've held him through to the end of the season, He's absolutely killing it at the moment, and that is really, it seems every week I come up against an opponent that's got Warple in their side, and it puts me behind the eight ball because he's scoring in the 120s, 130s, and even 140s, and that means I have to have someone have a massive game to cover that off, and getting a unique that's doing that is pretty hard at the moment. The other thing that went wrong was a couple of times I actually outsmarted myself trying to do loopholes. I missed times and I stuffed things up. I think it was two or three occasions I did that this season, and that's probably cost me, you know, around about 100, 150 points all up, just because I was trying to be super tight on the time frames. So I guess my learning there was set myself an alarm, or, you know, just don't try it, because sometimes life gets in the way and you can't get to make that change when you need to.
Okay, so what went wrong in the 2019 Supercoach season? Well, I think I put it down to starting a few too many risks in my starting team, which forced me to hold injured players and play rookies on field for 1 week injuries, which seemed to be recurring over a number of weeks. Probably the worst period of time was around 8 or 9 when Matt Crouch was injured for 1 week for about 3 consecutive weeks. And so holding him through those injuries and having injuries to other players, including Rockcliffe, Hanley, Liberatore, and more, all had injuries around similar times. I had rookies who were dropped and injured as well. So that meant that my season was derailed at that point in time when I was ranked well within the top 3K, and within 4 weeks saw my season go out of control and into the 27K mark in overall rankings. So I put it down to a few too many risky options and not enough coverage on my bench.
What went wrong? My biggest mistake of the season was missing out on Marty Bloody Hoare. I had him in my initial starting team, but I ended up starting Burgess instead because he provided a swing set with more, and that single non-selection had a pretty big impact. As not only did I miss out on an amazing cash cow, I also missed out on a lot of great rookie scores at key times in a really good run of weeks. A lot of people really benefited by that Marty Hoare scores in the D6 position. So I really did miss that. And I can add to that that letting slide play the Tiger players like Stack, Ross and Baker was also a really big miss, because I then went on to trade in Ross, and after his first price rise only, he got injured. So yeah, big mistake there.
All right, that was the section on what went wrong in season 2019. I think there was a bit of a common theme there around missed opportunities or missed players that were fairly key, predominantly revolving around the rookies and how that impacted cash generation. And I think this year, more than most, there was a fairly barren landscape to choose from rookies-wise, and so it exacerbated any missed chances earlier on. And I think some of the rookies that became available or ended up being fairly crucial actually were available before any of the rookies had matured in price. And that was another sort of compounding factor which led to a lot of us not bringing those players in. Sydney Stack after 3 rounds as an example of that. Good learnings. And with that, we'll move on to the POD success and failures.
So my point of difference, success or disaster, really clear on that one. Andrews and Cameron just completely destroyed my season. So I said that my upgrade process went really well. Like I was really happy with the timing and the way that how I moved through that process. It was just literally Andrews and Cameron who completely destroyed the outcome of that. Andrews came in, he's coming off 2 scores over 100. I don't think he's had one since. That was in round 12. Picked him up for 455 and averaging 70-odd since then. And Cameron had a really, really strong start to the year and a really good draw for the second half of the year. Picked him up for 468 in round 11. And I know a few people did at that time, but he's been injured a few times since then, which was potentially predictable given his durability history. I think that the tricky part was that the Giants had a really good draw, but the Giants have just completely dropped off, and that's partly injury related but partly just the team not playing as well since then, so he wasn't able to capitalize on that and didn't get any of the really, really big scores. I know that I think second week or something he scored a 120 against Gold Coast, but I really needed a lot more than that from him. So he went out, finally in the second last round. But Andrews and Cameron just really, really ruined any chance that I had to move up the rankings ladder. But look, I'm sort of willing to cop that a little bit because you take a gamble on them and it just sucks that both of them went incredibly badly. They could have been my pods that actually got me back into the contest and inside that top 5K. So I guess that's the price that you pay. The other pod disaster was not having Dunkley. It just turned out to be absolutely an essential player to have in your team.
Moving on now to the POD successes and disasters. Having a look at my team, it's relatively cookie cutter. There's not too many out of left field players this year, and that has been a problem of mine in past years, is trying to be a bit too unique. Of the guys I started the year with, I think I put Zach Merritt and Jack Billings both down as success stories. They're not in all that many teams, and both guys I've been pretty happy with for the entire season. My worst POD of those that started in the side, Matt Crouch definitely takes the biscuits here. That patch of in the middle of the year when we weren't sure when he was coming back was a real difficult one because he kept being a sort of test 1 week and it stretched out to 3 weeks or so. And after partially redeeming himself with the 150, he followed that up with a 50. So he's made sure that we don't have any fond memories of him. And James Sicily and Luke Ryan, I brought them both in the same week as a couple of little POD defenders, and both have been very disappointing since joining the side.
Points of difference. So I have to mention Rory Sloane here again. He was a pod that I brought in and I thought was going to be a winning move for me, but turned out to be a bit of a disaster. But on the win side, look, Dunkley and McRae never left my side all year. A lot of people didn't want to start with them because they didn't want to pay up for them and they were worried about the role that they were going to have. But in my opinion, they just had to be in the side and they're really proving that now. Pods that I missed out on, which really hurt me, were Warple and Libba early on. But probably the biggest one and my biggest regret was not getting in Rowan Marshall when he was cheap and looked good. He was a huge risk, I thought. It was a bit of an unknown, but at the price that he had and what he's done since, he's been a winning move for a heap of coaches.
So now I get to talk about my POD successes, and I think that I had two in my starting team, which I'll talk about. The first one being Josh Dunkley. The key thing for me is that I didn't trade him out after the first four rounds. He was showing some low scoring potential at that point. He had a forward role, but I trusted my research on the previous season and that if he did get a midfield role, he could turn it around. And he certainly did that. So from round 5 to round 22, he actually went on to average 125 over that period and 117 for the entire season. So certainly worked out well for me. And that was kind of based on some analysis I did of first half to second half comparison of scoring. And I made another pick in my forward line with using a similar analysis, and that was actually starting Jack Billings. And I was nervous the whole season, but I think he worked out to be a pretty successful pick. He was a pretty good value at just over 400K and turned out to be a top 10 forward. Stuck with him for the whole season, and I think that's been fairly successful. The third one I mentioned is a popular pick that I didn't start, and that was Clayton Oliver. So he really struggled in the first half of the season. He had double shoulder surgery, I understand, in the pre-season. And in around the byes, I actually brought him into my side, and in the second half, he turned things around, and it was good having him in my side. Okay, so I guess now we have to talk about the POD disasters of the season. I had four in my starting side, some more disastrous than others. The first one to talk about is Jordan Ridley. So I paid a little bit extra for his job security, or so I thought, and his scoring potential. And he ended up just being like any other rookie, except that he didn't keep his spot in the side. So that was a bit of a fail for me. Pierce Hanley was another one. He started slow and he actually was scoring pretty well up towards the 80s and 90s. I was getting what I paid for him. He was making a little bit extra cash. So he made about 100K, I think, in the end. So that was reasonably successful, but probably hung on to him for too long. As soon as I saw a sign of injury. I probably should have run away, but held him right up until the buys, and then needed to trade him out when I knew that he wasn't coming back. So the Rocky Train was another one who was really successful early in the season. So I was glad that I started him and didn't bring him in early in the season. But he hasn't really worked out. I basically started him as a keeper, and he didn't turn out to be one of those. So he exited my side around the buys. And the last one, which was a bit of a disaster that I haven't been able to get rid of yet, and that's Matt Crouch. So he was probably under 10% owned, and he was my kind of breakout candidate to go into the top eight, and he's just kind of hovered around the just 100 to 105 average. Went through 3 weeks of having a one-week injury and put in some real stinkers. So it's been a tough ride with Matt Crouch, so that was certainly a disaster for me.
POD successes and disasters. My biggest pod success was probably trading Jezza Cameron to Green, but it was so late in the season, the impact was nowhere near as good as those that took a punt on someone like Rowan Marshall. He was an absolute cracker this year for those that took him early. My pod disaster was actually the opposite, trading in Jezza Bloody Cameron. I traded him in round 11, and a few did that at the exact same time. There's a few talking about it at the time, but geez, he's been super disappointing. And to be quite honest, I actually blame FB Donkey, because he was sprouting a fair bit at the time about how good a selection Jezza would have been, and I reckon he just pushed me over the line to trade into that bloody disaster. So yeah, that's never again, Jezza, never, mate.
All right, that was POD successes and disasters. And for the final section, and really the most important one of this episode, lessons learned. So what did we learn from this season, particularly it being a challenging season for the Supercoach Coach community, more challenging than in previous seasons? What can we take that will help us move forward positively and hopefully do better in season 2020 and beyond?
What did I learn over the course of 2019? the lesson that I probably learned is that you avoid key position players, but I've been playing this game for a long time now and I should have known that already. Andrews and Cameron, both key positions, both did not work out at all. And yeah, I shouldn't be learning that lesson after more than 10 years of playing the game. I should already know that sort of stuff. And I think that the other thing that probably didn't work out that I tried that was a little bit different this year was that I brought in Constable and Ross, both of them after one price rise. I didn't take them originally, and then their scoring seemed so good, so I brought them in. But then neither of them really worked out. I think they made maybe 90,000 and 50,000 each, and ended up out of the team and having to trade them out. So that worked out really, really poorly. And sometimes you should have just held your nerve or go early on those guys. So I probably won't be bringing in players after a price rise again. Thanks for the season, Marcus. You're a legend. Really appreciate that, and all the other co-hosts. And I'll be back next year with a much, much higher rank, I hope. Okay, bye.
Final point for the season and for this week's podcast. What have I learnt this year from Supercoach? So first couple of lessons I'll take away have to do with rookies. The first one I've put down here is to act decisively with respect to the good rookies. And there were a couple this year that I think really showed their form, and it was partially a strategic reason not to bring them in. That in Riley O'Brien's case, the fact that you weren't making any money off the trade, and for Sydney's stack, looked very good, but it was just a question of it being too early. You weren't going to make enough on the downgrades. I think that when the rookies present themselves and it's clear how good they are, you've just got to jump. Now, the second lesson I have is to be patient once the rookies are in your team. And I pointed out earlier, the early trades on Answorth and Gibbons, to a lesser extent, made similar mistakes with Setterfield, and I'm sure a few others across the year, where I just didn't wait them out and really paid the price for that. And the second lot of lessons I've got are particular players to avoid, and I'll deal with the first one, which is a bit related to this being patient with the rookies, is to avoid the bargain premiums that are bargain, really not because of an injury or anything like that, but for poor form. A few guys that I've highlighted here are Westhoff, James Sicily, and Luke Ryan, all were pretty cheap because of form issues, and all proved why they were cheap with a poor run of form. Mid prices as well, I think I need to get this tattooed onto my forehead. I, every year, get sucked in, but they've just been disappointing yet again. So the ones I'm thinking of this year are Libba in the midfield and Brody Smith down back, both pretty disappointing and could have really done without them. And the big one, again, one that I never seem to learn, is key forwards. They just continue to disappoint. This year I've had experience with Buddy and Jez Cameron. Both have been pretty despicable. Buddy was a bit of an unlucky one with the injury, but Jez Cameron, just week after week of poor scores. I think it's only if the player is a real bargain. So the Jack Darling types, you can make a bit of money there, but not paying 450K or something like that for a key forward. Surely 2020 will be the year I learn that lesson.
So what did I learn this season? I learned that I need to take a few more risks because I do tend to play the game a little bit too safe at times. I need to pick some players that don't have the big name, and I just mentioned one in the previous section there, Rowan Marshall. I think if he'd had a bit of a name behind him, I would have had a lot less hesitation in picking him, and he probably would have been in my side by now. So for me, that's where everyone needs to look at their team with a little bit more of the gambler attitude sometimes in this game, because if we all play it safe, we're all going to end up with the same team. You don't make ground on the competition, and if you're playing for rank particularly, you can't afford to pick the same players that everyone else has. So based on that, I think my biggest learning is take a few more risks, pick the guys who you think are going to be good, not the ones that have got that proven form and a bit of a cookie cutter and are going to get you the the 90s, 100s, 110s. Pick the guy who you think is going to break out and get you that 120, 140 in most weeks, and see how you can go with that. Other than that, everyone, I hope you've had a great season, and look forward to catching you all next season.
Okay, so what did I learn in the 2019 Supercoach season? The key thing that I learned was that your starting team is very important for your cash generation for the season. So for my side, I started a number of mid-price options. I also started some higher-priced rookies, which meant that I was giving up spots in my team in order to start a more basement-priced rookie that has the potential to make between 100 and 200Ks. Generally, the higher-priced rookies and mid-prices won't make as much money as the basement price rookies, but they do offer scoring potential on the field. So that's one thing that I was successful with early, was actually getting points on the field, but it was at the detriment of the cash generation to my team. And a key example of that is Jordan Ridley. So I paid 200K for him. He didn't end up being very successful at all, made less cash than a normal rookie, and had to trade him out fairly early. The other thing that affected my cash generation, which was successful for loopholing points in the midfield, I started Brett Bewley, someone I knew would eventually debut, but wanted to use him as a non-playing player in the midfield in order to loophole rookie scores to really get rid of the crappy scores and hopefully loop on the higher scores. So that was very successful in the first few weeks, but it meant that I was using up a position in my team that would normally generate 150, 200K that I could use around the buys, and that really hurt through the buy period because I didn't have the cash to go into an upgrade cadence. That one's for you, Marcus. I think that though all of the strategies that I mentioned, so starting mid-prices, starting high-priced rookies, and starting a midfield non-playing player, are all sound strategies. But if you combine them all into the one side, it really limits your cash generation, and you create a really risky set of players, which contains both mid-prices and rookies. And so you run into the situation that I did towards the middle of the season, where some of these players started getting injured, rookies started being dropped, and I couldn't get all of these players out of my side quick enough, and didn't really have the cash generated enough to go to premium options. So I think that if you chose one or two of those strategies, it will help with good scoring early on in the season, but not at a large detriment to your cash generation. So to put it in perspective, I actually got off to a really good start, had an early rank in the top 3K at rounds 5 and 8. After that, injuries started to hit and my season went off the rails. I also learned not to overcommit to forward and defensive primo options. So it's actually interesting, from the top 13 price forwards from 2018, which averaged 95 plus, only three of them ended up averaging 95 plus this year. So a lot of players emerged through the season. So if you actually started too deep in the forward line, which I did, it limits your ability to actually get those emerging forwards into your team. So the three that actually went on to average 95 again this season were Danger, Heaney and Dunkley, which luckily started all three of those in my side. But certainly couldn't get on all of those emerging forwards as they came through. It's a similar story in the back line. So four of the five players from last year that averaged over 100 didn't average 100 in 2018. So the five players that were over 100 this year that weren't last year included Whitfield, who was 99.9, Hooley, who averaged 73 last season, Hearn averaged 96 last season, and Williams, who didn't play any games last season. So Lloyd was the only player that backed up his 100 from last year to this year as well. So I think that's a very interesting point. And when we look at midfielders, the same top eight players went 110 plus in both 2018 and 19, except for Tom Mitchell, who didn't play, and Bontempelli was the one that came into the top eight for him. So I feel that's quite a difference to the forward and defensive lines, where the same players didn't back it up again the following year. All right, that's all for me. Thanks to all the listeners, in particular ones that stuck through us through a tough year for the Supercoach Coach community. So I also like to thank the Patreons for supporting the community, the podcast and the website. It really makes a difference. And thanks for listening, and we'll hopefully see you there next year. See ya.
What did you learn? What I learned from the season was getting your team upgraded as quickly as possible is still a very solid strategy. With my team this year was fully upgraded by round 14. It did include some compromised selections like Brayshaw, but it still saw me go on a run of improving my rank each and every week, up until this week, of course. And I could see a lot of people were battling with rookies and waiting for players to come in like Hearn, etc., for final upgrades, where I had my premiers on ground and I was gaining ground each week. I've got a firm belief in getting upgraded as soon as possible sets you up for a solid season, and there's always a little bit of luck going lower on trades for sure, and this year's obviously no exception to that at all. That's definitely what I learned this year, and I'll stick with that strategy moving forward. Just to sign out, thanks again for having me on the podcast this year. Best of luck to those in grand finals, and I'm sure everyone, especially me as well, is looking forward to the Supercoach season coming to an end, so we can just sit back, relax and watch the footy finals. Moosey out.
All right, that's it for season 2019. One for the history books, 11 seasons down. And next year will be our dozenth season. Is that a word? And very much looking forward to having you guys back, or you guys and gals back with us for season 2020. And again, a massive shout out and thank you to our entire Supercoach Coach community, the veterans and the forum members, the Patreons for their monetary support, without which we couldn't continue. And of course, a massive, massive, massive thank you to each one of the podcast guests across the season. Of course, FB Donkey's been with us for a while, and very much appreciate the time that he's continued to carve out, even if it's a little bit more reduced than in previous seasons. Faz, who's very much stepped up this year, as has Bryce and Dunny to sort of fill that void a little bit that Mark has left. And we had Moosey on for a little bit more this season as well. And CJ, he didn't get to come on to the season review show, but a thank you to him for the couple episodes that he did as well. So with that, we'll sign off for another season. Don't forget, patrons, you will receive a couple of bonus season review eps. My own personal season review I'll release on there. And as well as that, a bonus from our five guests in terms of best and worst moves made for the year. And with that, we wish you well for the grand final, especially if you're playing this week. And we will catch you all next year. See ya.